Heroes of Civilization, presented by Dr. Norley Dumoria.
One of the sights of London is the internationally famous Royal College of Surgeons Museum, which contains the world's greatest collection of anatomical curiosities. Among them, we find the 8-foot-6-inch skeleton of O'Brien, the Irish giant, side by side with that of the Sicilian dwarf, standing only 20 inches high. Naturally, we're interested to know of the man responsible for this priceless collection. And upon inquiry, we find that it is largely the work of John Hunter, who lived between 1728 and 1793, and whose acquaintance we now make as on leaving school he discusses his future with his father at the family's home in Lanarkshire, Scotland.
Well, John, lad, you're 17 and stopped schooling, but by the master's report of you, it's been a waste of good time and money trying to educate you.
I'm sorry, Father.
Aye, you're like myself, John, lad, but that's just between us. It's my duty to disapprove, you ken?
Yes, Father.
But, John, you're a canny lad. It's plain to you that a petty laird like myself will land revenues as they are and 10 barons to rear, can I offer his youngest son any good position?
I must make my own way in the world.
Aye, John. There's the East India Company, the American colonies, the army or navy. Maybe I could place you well in one or the other.
Father, I don't want to be any of those things. I want to go to London to be apprenticed to Brother William and become a surgeon.
It's a hard row to hold, Ed, becoming a surgeon.
So is everything else, but I want to do it.
Aye. Your brother William's a successful surgeon. It would be good if he'd take you as an assistant.
William must take me. It's a family duty. You give me a letter to him, Father. I'll see he gives me a chance. It's my ambition to be a surgeon.
Well, if you can convince William as you have me, he'll take you. I'll give you the letter and pay the expenses of the journey to London.
Thank you, Father. And I assure you the day will come when John Hunter, the surgeon, will be a credit to his family.
One evening, 5 years later, Mr. William Hunter is concluding a private surgical lecture on dissection in his London house.
Well, gentlemen, it should be apparent to you from the dissections we have just made of these three bodies that heart disease has been the real underlying cause of death.
For myself, Mr. Hunter, I'm quite convinced.
I agree with Dr. Howard, sir. And speaking for us all, permit me to thank you most kindly for this lecture and for the opportunity of witnessing the dissection.
Yes, of course.
Not at all, Dr. Jenkins. If we find ourselves unable to make these investigations in the ordinary way without public outcry, we must arrange to do the work privately like this. We'd never do to give up all experimental work just because it offends some people.
Oh, of course not.
You know, Mr. Hunter, I find myself constantly wondering how you manage to get all these bodies exactly the right type, just when required.
That is rather a delicate question, Dr. Howard. That can be answered only by my brother John here. But I ask you to note that he has clay on his shoes this evening.
Yes, John. I've always observed that your hands are strong and hardened, like those of a man used to a deal of digging, perhaps grave digging.
My gentlemen, you may laugh, but it lacks humor somewhat to be fleeing in possession of an anatomical prize with the Bow Street runners close on your heels.
Yes, and they've been of lately been more vigilant than ever.
Just the same, gentlemen. We cannot complain of any shortage of bodies for dissection.
Thanks to John's ability as a collector of specimens.
quite so. From now on, though, I cannot promise you any more evenings such as this.
Oh, how unfortunate. What's occurred?
Because, gentlemen, we are about to lose the services of my brother John.
Oh, where are you going, John? Not giving up surgery, I trust.
Indeed not, Dr. Jenkins.
No, Jenkins, but I wish John to improve his general education. You appeared at the Chelsea Hospital and St. Bartholomew's. Then perhaps a time in the Army or Navy as a sergeant.
Well, John, we all wish you success.
Yes, of course.
Thank you, gentlemen. I trust that I shall prove worthy of your good wishes.
Come along, then. We shall have some supper and drink to the success of John Hunter, the second sergeant in our family.
Yes, fine idea. Supper sounds good.
John Hunter carried out his brother's plans for him and proved a clever surgeon. He set up practice in London, where he prospered greatly. He spent all his considerable earnings in the purchase of specimens or in the payment of bribes and rewards to body stealers, undertakers, and others who would help him in the building of his anatomical museum located in his home at Earl's Court. The highlight of his colorful career came in 1783, when with an assistant, Mr. Abernethy, he made the acquaintance of O'Brien, the Irish giant, then on view in a fair sideshow.
Mr. O'Brien, it is really a pleasure to meet you. Both myself and Mr. Abernethy consider the journey from London has been well worthwhile.
Yes, Mr. O'Brien, seeing you has greatly interested us both.
Sure, everyone likes to see me. Still and all, 'tis handsome of two gents of quality to travel all the way from London to see me. Bedad, 'tis a compliment it is.
Not at all, Mr. O'Brien. We're honored that you should grant us this private interview. It's most kind of you.
Don't mention it, Mr. Hunter. Us O'Briens has always been good-hearted, shall we have. So, what was the business proposal you wished to put to me? Some idea of a show in London?
Yes, Mr. O'Brien. A place of honor for you in what I hope to make the rarest show in all London. Now, what do you say, Mr. O'Brien, to a cash payment of £500 to join my show in London?
Be Garrett is a handsome offer, sir. Still, I have me obligations here to do, you know, to the show. Still,
oh,
you want
we'll
to
not
go
worry about that. I'm sure you'll be through with this engagement in about a year or a little more. I'm prepared to wait that long for you and to pay the £500 now.
Oh, I must be dreaming, sir. I must be dreaming.
No, Mr. O'Brien, here is the contract.
Aye, and here is the money in gold. Now.
Your signature here, Mr. O'Brien, here. Oh,
just a moment, gentlemen, just a moment. I don't read or write. Charlie, the pitcher, always signs for me. Hey, Charlie, come here. Come here, my boy. Come over here.
Oh, why bother your friend?
In any case, we hardly need a contract.
No, we shall keep in touch with you. Possibly later on, we can arrange a suitable agreement.
Yes, O'Brien.
Sure, Charlie, my boy. You just read this contract for me, will you? Then sign it for me so I can seal it.
Oh, let me see. Aye, this is a bill of sale over your body for £500, O'Brien, with the right by one John Hunter to dissect it after death as he thinks fit.
The banshee take both of you. And I thought she was gentle.
Oh, come now, O'Brien. It's a simple transaction. I give you £500 cash now and wait for you to die.
And at the back of me hand to both of you. Am I to have me body in 1,000 pieces when the angel Gabriel blows his trumpet? No, I tell you,
Listen, I'm a doctor, and I tell you the hand of death is already upon you. In a year, you will be dead. Now, you can have £500 now and enjoy what life remains to you. Or by all the furies, I swear to have your carcass after death by your leave or not.
One night, towards the end of the following year, Mr. Oglethorpe, a London undertaker, and his assistant are busy in their workroom sealing the body of the lately deceased Irish giant in a leaden coffin.
When must O'Brien be sealing this lead coffin tonight, Mr.
Oglethorpe? Oh, his friends are calling for the body at 11 o'clock, George. It's to be taken to sea and sunk as soon as possible. Seems he died with a terrible fear of dissection. Now, give me a hand with him here, will you?
Liam? He's a weight, ain't he?
He's very heavy. There. Now for the lid.
I see you coming.
Yes, it'll be the men for the body. They're a little early. Come in.
We've come for the giant's body.
Oh, well, we shan't be long now. But you're not the men who were here this morning.
No, no. But we're going to take it all the same.
Oh, but I shall not allow you to take it.
Now then, take this.
Hey, what's the meaning of this, you blackguard?
And you better take this.
It's big stiff.
Have you got the giant boy?
No, sir, but we're getting him. We had to persuade these two to sort of give him up, Lord.
Oh, that's most unfortunate. Now take the body from the coffin and place it in my carriage. I'll pay you when we're away.
Yes, sir. Come on, Jim Lynn.
Now, don't drop him. Take him out.
In the later years of his life, Hunter considerably overworked himself. He developed heart disease, but refused to rest. In October 1793, the great anatomist and surgeon is speaking at a stormy meeting of doctors and university authorities, assembled to try and bring under one central controlling body the work of all medical science.
No, gentlemen, I refuse to join this association that you propose forming. It will not advance medical science, nor will it make doctors any more efficient.
But it will bring the profession under proper control. It will safeguard our interests.
Safeguard your interests, yes. Protect your incomes, yes. And stifle the development of medical science by enabling you to stop the independent workers. No, again I say I will not join you. I strongly oppose the idea.
And we strongly oppose the present influx of young men into the profession.
Of course you oppose it, because they represent opposition, and being young, they have new ideas. But I welcome them. I teach them. I have always helped the younger men. I intend to remain outside your association so I can continue to do so.
Well, Mr. Hunter, we should apply for a royal charter for our association and consider you in opposition to our aim.
Yes. And as long as I live, gentlemen, I shall oppose your efforts to control the profession for your own ends.
Hold him.
Hunter's fainting.
Raise his head.
Look. Allow me, please, gentlemen. Gentlemen, I regret to inform you, Mr. Hunter is dead.
Civilization, presented by Dr. Norrie Dumas.